Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Bucket Lister podcast. I am flying solo today, and today I am going to be talking to you about sleeping bags. And it's one of the most, probably one of the most asked questions we get asked in the office about what is the best sleeping bag for my trip. And obviously, completely dependent on which trip you are going on is going to depend on what sort of sleeping bag you're going to need. And there are so many options out there for you. And what I'm going to do today in today's podcast is break down the different types of sleeping bags. But I'm also going to talk about hiring a sleeping bag as well, because for some people that might be the better option for your trip. Now, obviously, there are some of our trips out there and some trips you're going to go on where you don't need a sleeping bag. You're going to be staying in hotels every night and, you know, you're not going to need to take a sleeping bag with you. But for other, you know, other trips of ours, things like, you know, Mount Toopkal, any of the treks in Nepal, Kilimanjaro, Sahara Desert Trek, those sorts of trips, you are going to need to have a sleeping bag with you. And the one thing that I would say to anyone is the most important thing for you whilst you're on your trip is getting a good night's sleep. And that could really come down to having a decent sleeping bag that is there for the conditions that you need. So if we start off with looking at sleeping bags, there's a couple of things that you need to take into consideration when you are choosing your sleeping bag. The first one is obviously going to be warmth. And sleeping bags come in, is classed in seasons. So you can have a one season sleeping bag, a two season sleeping bag, a three, a four, and then a five plus sleeping bag as well. I would say for the majority of our trips, we're not going to be looking at a five sleeping bag, because we're not going to be going that cold unless you're doing something maybe like Aconcagua or Amadablam, for example. So that also generally also, although they give them a number, they might also give them a season rating. So it could be a spring, a summer, a winter bag. They might also talk about sleeping bags like that as well. Now, obviously, dependent on the conditions, they will give you a, as well as the season, they will also give you a temperature rating. Now, you need to sort of really consider the temperature rating of a sleeping bag, because they'll give you two ratings. They'll give you a comfort rating and they'll give you an extreme rating. So it might be you look at a sleeping bag and it gives you a comfort rating of 0 degrees and it gives you an extreme of -5. And now what that's saying is that you will be comfortable at zero, but you will just be able to survive and potentially not die if you get down to, if it gets down to -5. Obviously, that's not going to give you a very good night's sleep if you are at -5 with an extreme rating of -5. So the other thing that I just want to highlight as well here, which I think is a common misconception amongst most people. And that common misconception is that, well, if I get cold, I'll just put more clothes on. Now, that's not how a sleeping bag really works. A sleeping bag works by trapping the air next to your skin and warming you up. So obviously, if you've got loads and loads of layers on, it's not going to be able to trap that air between your skin and the bag. So you're not really going to feel the benefit of it. So like I said, we've got a comfort rating and you've got a season rating. So the upper limit is the highest temperature the average person can have a comfortable night's sleep without getting too hot. Like I said, then you've got the comfort limit, which is the temperature the average adult can have a comfortable night's sleep in. The lower limit is the temperature at which an average adult can have a good night's sleep in a curled position. And then the extreme temperature is which the average adult can survive. Obviously, that's not one that we want to really be looking at when we're on the trip. And in then regards to the season, so a one-season sleeping bag, ideal for summer nights where temperatures are generally above 5 degrees. Two-season sleeping bag, cooler evening, spring, summer, when temperatures are around 0 to 5 degrees. A three-season sleeping bag will go from 0 to around -5. And then a four-season sleeping bag is perfect for winter months and will go down as low as kind of -10, -15. And then a five-season sleeping bag, like I said, is serious expedition use. And you're looking at when temperatures get down to as low as kind of -40. So at that point, you know, generally for the majority of our trips, we're going to be looking at a 3 to 4 season sleeping bag. But I would also say that for some of our trips, a 2 season sleeping bag would be adequate. For example, if you're doing the standard Mount Toopcal in May, you're going to be staying inside buildings. So a 2 season sleeping bag will probably be completely adequate. If you're looking at Everest Base Camp, for example, this is really going to depend on how cold you get. Some people don't get as cold as others. Personally, I would take a 3 season sleeping bag. Some people would take a 4 season sleeping bag. As I've said before, there are blankets in the tea houses on an Everest Base Camp trek or any tea house trek in Nepal. There are blankets on the bed. Like I always said, I never guarantee the cleanliness of them, but just to put over you in your sleeping bag, if you're feeling a bit cold, they're perfectly fine. I just wouldn't recommend you sleeping directly underneath the blanket. The other thing to think about then is then the material that the sleeping bag is going to be made of. And you've basically got the down option or you've got a synthetic sleeping bag. Obviously, down is filled with duck or goose down, and then synthetic is a man-made material. Now, the advantages and disadvantages of those are then a down sleeping bag would be a whole lot lighter than a synthetic sleeping bag. It would be lighter as well as it would pack down a whole lot smaller. So for trips, again, like any treks in Nepal or Machu Picchu, when you're a little bit restricted on weight, a down sleeping bag might be a better alternative. Obviously, they generally are more expensive than a synthetic sleeping bag, so you've kind of got to weigh that up a little bit. Synthetic sleeping bags generally are generally more bulky, but because of the material they're made out of, they perform better in the wet. You certainly don't want to be getting a down sleeping bag wet. So again, dependent on your trip would be dependent on whether or not I would advise taking a down sleeping bag or a synthetic sleeping bag. For anything like Mount Toopcal or Nepal treks where you're in a tea house where there's no chance of the bag getting wet in a tent, sleeping on the side of the tent, moisture coming through, then a down sleeping bag is, you know, brilliant. That's what you want. But, you know, if you're doing a Kilimanjaro trek and you're camping, you might want to think about the material that your sleeping bag is made up of. Because like I say, down doesn't perform when it's wet and it's super hard to dry as well. So if there's any risk of your sleeping bag getting wet, then you might want to think about a synthetic bag or making sure that your down bag doesn't get wet. And saying that, you know, one thing that I always do is my sleeping bag, even though it comes in a stuff sack, the stuff sack isn't waterproof. So I always put my sleeping bag in my duffel bag, but I'll put my sleeping bag into a dry bag. So I know that if any water did get into my duffel bag, then my sleeping bag would still be dry. Because the last thing you want to do is when you get into camp or you get into the tea house, if you've walked through, you know, the Everest Base Camp trail and it's poured with rain, you know, although, you know, the porters will wrap your bag up and your bag will be kind of water resistant, water can still get in places. And the last thing you want to do when you're cold and you want to just get into your bed at the end of the day is pull out a wet sleeping bag from your bag. So always think about putting your sleeping bag in a dry bag as well. That's really, really important. And just one thing that you can do really easily. The other thing when it comes to sleeping bags is they come in different sizes. And, you know, there are sleeping bags for women. You know, you can buy small, medium, large, extra large sleeping bags. So, again, don't just go and buy a sleeping bag off the shelf, because if you are a small person, there is no point going and buying a standard sleeping bag. You'll be much better off going out and getting a bag that fits you, because there's no point carrying that extra weight. But more importantly, you don't want too much space that needs heating up inside the sleeping bag. You need it to be relatively snug for you to get the benefits of feeling warm. So, you know, you can buy, you know, they're, if you look at sleeping bags online, they'll generally tell you what size they are. They'll also tell you whether the zip's on the left-hand side or the right-hand side. For some people, that's an important thing, depending on which side you sleep. Some will also have a half zip. Some will also have a quarter zip. Some will also have a full zip. So again, you know, I made the mistake, the last sleeping bag that I bought, I was trying to go for weight saving on it, and I only got a quarter zip. But it's such a warm sleeping bag that if I do get too hot, it doesn't give me the option to open it up and try and let some air in to cool down. So I kind of made that, although it's perfect when I'm cold, but when I'm warm, I can't open the sleeping bag up. So it's a bit of a pain, really. So the next sleeping bag I'll be buying will have a full zip on it, even though it might add a little bit more weight. I think I was being slightly over the top with it. So just think about that when you are choosing your sleeping bag. Other things to consider with sleeping bags is looking after them. And that's a big thing that a lot of people don't consider. And a sleeping bag is a massive investment if you are, you know, spending good money on a good damn sleeping bag. They are not cheap, but they are going to probably last you for your traveling lifetime if you get a good one. But you do need to look after that. And what you need to do with a down sleeping bag, this is a down sleeping bag, not a not so much a synthetic sleeping bag, but with a down sleeping bag, you should never leave them stuffed inside the stuff sack. They should always be what they call lofted. And when you buy a down sleeping bag, it generally comes with two bags. It generally comes with your stuff sack to pack it in whilst you're traveling, but it also then comes with a lofting bag, which is kind of like a massive, clear, transparent pillowcase almost, that you can put the bag in loosely and it doesn't compress all the down into it. And that's what you should be keeping your down sleeping bag in. If you haven't got one of those, and you could just like hang it up on a hanger or hang it over a door, or you just need to leave it somewhere where it's got the ability to kind of the down to sort of move around and sort of not be compressed. And that's how you would look after a down sleeping bag. Again, obviously, have a look at sleeping bag liners, because washing a sleeping bag is a real pain. It's much easier to wash a liner bag than it is to wash the sleeping bag. So obviously, if you're on a long trek in Nepal, you're going to be sleeping in it for, you know, 13 nights. You know, when you get back, you're going to be thinking, I probably want to wash that before I use it again. But if you have taken a sleeping bag liner with you, you can literally just wash the sleeping bag liner and then not worry about having to wash the sleeping bag. If you do need to wash the sleeping bag, it's not a problem. You can wash it normally in a washing machine. The biggest issue comes from drying it, and you need to make sure that you've properly dried a sleeping bag properly. When I wash my down sleeping bag, I don't use the tumble dryer at home because it's just not enough room inside the tumble dryer. So I'll take it to a laundrette and just put it in one of the big tumble dryers to dry, just so it can properly be moved around. Because what you tend to find is that when the down is wet, the down will all clump together. And kind of then you end up with cold spots on the sleeping bag. You need to make sure that all the down has been dried and it's all broken up, so it's back into almost individual feathers again. And that all of the baffle where the down has been stuffed into is around the whole part of the sleeping bag. And again, Once it's dried, you don't compress it back down again. You just leave it lofted in the bag so it's got the chance to kind of breathe and properly come back out again. So that's what I would advise with cleaning and looking after a down sleeping bag. Like I said, like sleeping bags are expensive. And, you know, you're looking at anything realistically from, you know, for a good synthetic sleeping bag, you're probably looking at around about £150. You know, if you are looking at a down sleeping bag, then you're looking at anything from kind of like Alpkit do some great ones at like round about £230, I think. Rab Ascent bags come in at kind of like £300, or you could go down the PhD route and have a sleeping bag made for you. But then you're kind of looking at 650 upwards for a sleeping bag of that quality. But like I said, you know, they are going to last you a long time. I have got a PhD sleeping bag. It's the most loveliest sleeping bag in the world. It's probably 10 years old now, the sleeping bag, and I probably paid about £650 for it. So, you know, although that's a big expense going out, A, I use it an awful lot because it's a piece of kit that I use for work. But then when you break that down over the yearly cost, you know, it's probably only cost me £60 a year at the minute. And that sleeping bag is still got, it still looks brand new. It's been looked after and it's got plenty of life in it. So, you know, in reality, it's probably going to last me another 10 years. And in essence, I've paid £30 a year for a really, really good sleeping bag. But then I'm using it all the time. And that's where I want to come on and talk about hiring a sleeping bag, because I've got like three sleeping bags, and depending on which trip I'm doing will be which trip I pack, which sleeping bag I pack. Now, obviously that's not, that's, you're probably only going to have one sleeping bag. So if you have a, you know, a two season decent sleeping bag and you're doing one trip and one trip only, that's going to need a four season sleeping bag, then why would you go and buy a four season sleeping bag for that one trip when there are companies out there like Rab where you can have a hire service and you can hire the sleeping bag off them? They'll send it to you. You return it at the end of your trip. It's, you know, it's a brilliant sleeping bag. It's of great quality. It's been well looked after. It's going to cost you a fraction of the price to hire it than to buy it. And you're going to have a really comfortable night's sleep on your trip because you've got the perfect bag for that trip, rather than you thinking, I'll go and buy a cheap one because I'm only going to use it once. And actually, it's probably not going to keep you warm and it's probably going to be really bulky and heavy. And then you're going to end up not taking other stuff in your bag because you've got this big, massive sleeping bag with you. So one thing I would suggest is looking at hiring hiring bags if you're only ever going to use them once. If it's something you're going to consistently use, then of course, go out and buy one, get what you want, get it to fit you. Brilliant. But if you are only ever going to use this sleeping bag once, then do consider hiring it or maybe borrowing one. You know, there's probably, if you've got friends, family that have also done trips like this before, then, you know, put the feelers out and see if anyone's got one you can buy, because it is pretty pointless if you just head out and get yourself a sleeping bag for a one-off trip that you're never going to use again. Obviously, you can sell it when you get home. There are plenty of pages on Facebook where, you know, people are selling secondhand gear. That's entirely up to you if you want to do it that way, and that might work. But it's probably going to work out cheaper for you to hire it in the long run rather than buying it and then selling it on again. I have written a blog post article on the Bucket List Company's website all about sleeping bags, and I'll put a link to that into the show notes of this podcast. There's some links in there as well to bags that I would recommend, so you can go and see the actual bags that I've got or that I would recommend to use as well. And there's also a link in there to the Rab hire service as well within that article. So if that's something of interest to you, then just go and have a look at that article, read that, and then go from there. I think that pretty much covers it off with regards to sleeping bags. Obviously, you know, I haven't got time in the podcast to go through every single trip and talk about which sleeping bag I would take for every single trip. But I've kind of covered off the pros and cons for synthetic against down. I've spoken about the comfort ratings and the season ratings for sleeping bags, and given you kind of the temperature ranges in terms of where they fit into. And obviously you can look and see what the temperatures are going to be on your trip and decide then what bag you're going to need specifically for those, for that trip that you're on. But if you've got any questions on sleeping bags, like I said, it's probably one of the most asked questions we get coming to the office. You can always contact us and we will give you some individual advice. But the trouble is, people feel the cold in different ways. What I might think is a perfectly adequate sleeping bag and I have a great night's sleep, somebody might use the same one and wake up in the morning and go, I've had the worst night's sleep ever because I was freezing. So you need to kind of think about where you are in terms of how cold you get, how you feel, and that will then kind of dictate how warm a sleeping bag you're going to need to use. But okay, don't forget the sleeping bag liners. You can add on. They do make silk ones, they make cotton ones, but they also do fleece liners as well. So if you are one that really does feel the cold, then you could get a fleece liner, which basically adds as a one season sleeping bag in essence. So you're basically adding another season by using that fleece liner. So, you know, if you think, I'm not sure if I need a three or a four season, you could get a three season bag with a fleece liner, and then you've got the best of both worlds then. Because the other thing to consider, which I forgot to mention, was the fact that on an Everest base camp trek, for example, the temperature on your first night in your sleeping bag is going to be completely different to the temperature on night eight when you're in Gorik Shep. So, you know, you could have a really thick sleeping bag that's too warm for you at the bottom, and perfect when you're there. So it's about how you balance that out, really. And obviously, like I said, you'd always rather be warmer than you were colder, but the importance is on any of our trips is to make sure that you're getting a good night's sleep. Hopefully you found this podcast episode useful. Hopefully I've covered everything off with regards to sleeping bags. And you know, it's one of those things that you are going to need one. You know, some people have never ever slept in a sleeping bag before when I've done trips up Kilimanjaro. And my final piece of advice that I'm going to give today is how to pack away your sleeping bag on a trip. Because the number of times I see people trying to roll up their sleeping bag and put it back in the bag and they can't get it in. Now, a sleeping bag has a stuff sack, and the name of that bag, stuff sack, gives it away in the sense of you need to stuff your sleeping bag back into the stuff sack. So what you do is you grab the bottom of your sleeping bag, you start at the bottom, and then you just shove and you stuff the bag back into the stuff sack, and then it will go back in and you can do the top up. It will be a really difficult job to try and roll it up and get the bag back into the bag again. And the number of people on trips where we're kind of waiting for them in the morning, and the reason we're waiting for them is because they're trying to roll their sleeping bag up and put it back in their bag. Once I've shown them how a stuff sack works, every other day after that is perfectly fine. So there's my final tip. If you've never used a sleeping bag before, that is what a stuff sack is for, and that's stuffing it in. I'll be back next week with another episode of the Bucket Lister podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And like I say, I'll be back next week and I'll speak to you then. Bye-bye.